We're going to get a hold of Marilyn Carlson next. And let's see, she's the state director of Oklahoma, and she quit. She wasn't replaced. She was suspended. And Clark Clifford, or Clifford Cliff, I'm sorry, gave me a very good explanation about her right off the bat in the show. We just heard the interview. And I think it's only fair we give Marilyn a chance to talk. So Jamie is going to call her right now, and we'll find out what Marilyn thinks. And once again, we encourage people to call. Hi, is this Marilyn?
Yes.
It's Jerry Pippin. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Good. I was just telling our listeners here they can call at 941-548-4291 if they'd like to get in the conversation, if they have something to say. Marilyn, in the interest of fair play, I want to give you a chance to tell your side of the story and talk about anything you want to hear.
Okay.
But basically, I guess you've heard Clifford's interview by now, so...
Yes, I have. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so if you want to... And by the way, I've followed you for a while, but I've never had a chance to meet you, and we're in the same state, so shame on me.
Well, you were always welcome to come to the meetings, so...
Well, I talked to Grant when he went by. He enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
And you've had some pretty interesting people.
Yes, we've had some great speakers and really enjoyed Grant Cameron when he was here. Learned a lot from him.
You got several fan letters to me today, by the way.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Good.
Oh, okay, so it's your turn to talk and give your side of the story, and then we can talk a little bit. But first of all, even before we get to that, how long have you been interested in UFOs? I know you went up to Area 51 recently.
I did. Well, I've been actively involved with UFOs since about 1993, somewhere in that time frame. An experience brought me to it, and then but I was kind of interested in UFOs before that. Even as a teenager, I was interested in UFOs.
Your experience, did it involve a sighting or a close encounter?
A close encounter. Uh-huh. Yes.
Is there in Oklahoma?
No, it happened in Mississippi.
Okay. Well, we may get back and talk about that a little bit, but we need to talk about you and MUFON. So you joined MUFON in 93 or when?
No, I joined MUFON actually in 2004, maybe, after I moved here to Oklahoma. I did some things with MUFON, but as a non-member, and then I worked with some people that were quite active with MUFON.
They made you state director pretty fast then.
I am the type of person that I like being active and involve myself immediately with MUFON, and I took over after Chuck Pine was the state director. He became just so busy, he had a hard time keeping up and doing, he had too many irons in the fire, I think, and so he selected me to be his state director and take over, and that's how I got there. So
now, do you have any comments about what Clifford said?
I sent you an email yesterday in regards to that, and I just kind of felt like he wasn't really telling the whole story. And that it was kind of halfway there. I actually only had a problem with one individual as a member, and it began back in October of 2010. She applied to be a STAR team member, and she was declined.
And you turned her down, I think.
Well, it wasn't all just my choice. It was also Chase Klutzke's choice.
Well, the reason I brought that up, Marilyn, first of all, before we even get into it, is that it seems to me that it's kind of strange that the state director gets a say-so in who becomes a star team member, yet the star team members don't. In other words, you're not entitled to know everything as state director.
No, I'm not.
That's kind of a strange rule.
Well, it is, and state directors just don't have the choice that they used to have. It seems like some of their rights have been taken away from them. And as you know, 8 state directors have either stepped down or they've been asked to leave in probably the last 8 or 9 months. And I think Lujan really needs to take a look at where or why this is the case. And
they put you on some sort of investigation or suspension.
Yes, they did.
You resigned because of that, which I can understand.
Yes, I did. Actually, I was under investigation for 3 months until right after the first of the year, and then I sort of pressed the issue. And that is the very first time that I got a call from headquarters. The person who was investigating me was Tom Sheets. He would not talk to me by phone. He would not talk to me via Skype, only emails. And I asked him if we could do Skype. It would be easier for me because I have a disorder that's called essential tremor. It's real hard for me to type long emails and answer those 14 allegations that woman had placed against me. And we ended up, my husband typed in my answers for me and answered them, and that's how they got around it. But he refused to talk to me personally. And then I finally got a call from Clifford Clift after I insisted that the woman be removed from CMS and as a field investigator. And the day after I talked to Clifford, Marie Malzahn sent me the suspension letter, and then I discovered that my assistant state director got a suspension letter, and I did not know it until just in the last week or two that one of my field investigators also had a suspension notice.
And what was their suspension letters about?
Well, his was about, we didn't know. For 2 weeks we didn't know, and then he finally got a call from an investigator. At least he got a phone call to discuss why he was under investigation. But it was about somebody that he didn't quite understand. He was riding in the car, and it was noisy, and the man called him and talked to him about an investigation, and he wanted to investigate something, a sighting, and somebody had come to him, and he thought he was another field investigator. And he says, yeah, okay, go ahead and investigate it. Well, it turns out he was the man that submitted the report. Yes, he investigated it. But John didn't realize that he wasn't a member of MUFON. And so, you know, when I found out what he'd done, he says, well, you know, Marilyn called me on it and put me on the carpet for it, said, you can't do that. And I let it go, but this woman reported that. And then he was also reported as having maybe used password for CMS. And then the field investigator actually did tell someone in our group who was studying to become a field investigator that he would let him look at CMS and he would share his password. Well, the next day, he thought about it, and he sent him an email and says, no, I'm sorry, I really can't do that. And the woman knew that. She knew because she emailed the field investigator and said, don't do that. I mean, she was kind of poking her nose where it didn't belong. But he emailed her back, and he says, well, I already told him that I decided I wasn't going to do it. But she still reported to headquarters that he had done it. There was just a series of things here with this woman, and It ended up.
Has this woman been, is she still active or has she been suspended?
No, she's been actually terminated. It's more than suspension. Okay. But it was 22 pages that she sent to headquarters.
But she's no longer there because they terminated her.
Yes. That's
okay,
right.
Now, have they named a new state director? Or do you know?
Yes, they have. It's Chuck Pine. And I will say this, that when Clifford said that Chuck is moving right along, I beg to differ, because Chuck was named right after I received the suspension notice, which was first week in January. He has yet to notify any of the MUFON members that he is now state director, nor has he called a meeting. So I keep getting emails from people saying, what's going on? And, you know, I just tell them Chuck Pine is the same.
Now you've joined another organization?
Yes. I've become a member of Epic Voyagers, and Ken Cherry had nothing to do with my decision to leave MUFON. I went to Ken Cherry after I made that decision. I said, you know, I think I'd like to participate.
What kind of guy is Ken Cherry?
Well, I like Ken. He's
okay. Well, I'm a little upset with him over the no press allowed deal down there in the Stephenville thing. I don't really put up with that in a lot of places, but you got to understand where I come from. I'm a member of the press.
I understand that. And I knew the moment he had made the announcement that it was going to create a hullabaloo. and I expected someone to come in and
see that I have the same problem with this non-disclosure BS that everybody's putting in every contract.
Yes.
And, I mean, what are we hiding from people here? Well, I think we're supposed to be out here acquainting people with the problems and the sightings and what we're finding.
Well,
they're managing it.
Well, what seems to be happening, and I've noticed it in CMS, is that the really big sightings and cases are not appearing in CMS. I think they're still being pulled from CMS before they ever get to the state directors. All we're getting right now is lights in the sky. And I assume, I don't know this for sure, but I assume that it's going to the STAR team.
Now, you, when you talk about this, you're talking about people report these things on the website at MUFON?
Yes, exactly. That's where
and
it goes.
And then they're assigned to whomever.
Right. MUFON has a...
and it does, and this is probably the one thing I know several state directors or have been state directors. Seems to be a sore point that there might be, you know, they're not telling everybody everything.
They're not. And the real obvious thing about that is the contract with Bigelow, even though supposedly Bigelow still is not any longer involved with MUFON. They basically sold the MUFON members a bill of goods with that, and virtually everything was turned over that was in CMS. All of their old files were turned over to him, everything.
Well, I understand that's a sore point. Did you ever have any contact with the Bigelow people when they were investigating?
Well, it happened right here in Oklahoma, actually. We had a sighting, and it was more than a sighting, it was a landing, in Buffalo.
And where Buffalo is.
Buffalo
is in the northwest part of the state.
Yes, it is. Uh-huh. Up by the Panhandle.
In fact,
So I just happened to be on the phone with somebody else inquiring about CMS. I was having difficulty with it. And he says, oh, I see the STAR team is in your state right now. And I said, what? Does our state director know this? And he says, oh, I'm sure he does. I says, okay, well, gee, if there's anything I can do to help out, let me know. And he goes, oh, no, you stay out of this. And then I phoned Chuck Pine. He was state director at that time. And he says, no, they never notified me. So they came into our state without any notification to the state director and investigated it. And then when I spoke with the witnesses later, Bigelow's entire team came out, and they weren't very. They didn't make the witnesses very happy. They were kind of crude with them. So it was, the whole thing was just a big mess. And so, yeah.
Since Bigelow's out of it and this new group, which I guess is MUFON originated.
Mm-hmm, right.
Have you had any experience with them? Have they been around?
No. I spoke with Chase Klutsky about the procedures and how it was set up, and I felt really happy about how that was set up, and that it was involving the state directors, and we had a choice of what field investigators we wanted to come in and investigate. And
In the interview, Clifford said you were using hypnotism. Are you a hypnotherapist?
I'm a clinical hypnotherapist and have been since 1993. I spent a year at St. John's University studying hypnosis and then got my certification from the National Guild of Hypnotists. I have worked with abductees many, many times. And, you know, whenever...
I mean, is that against the bylaws?
Well, no, it's not. But they started a group that and they wanted to be in control of, if there's any hypnotherapist in the group, it had to be under the guidance of Clifford Clift. And I took exception to that because Clifford Clift, for one thing, is not a clinical hypnotherapist. And I'm a well-experienced hypnotherapist. I've never hypnotized anybody in the group, but yet they all knew I was a hypnotherapist because when we introduce ourselves in the group, I say, this is what I do.
You said earlier that you had an experience. Was that an abduction experience in Mississippi?
Yes.
Or do you want to talk about it?
I would like to talk about it, but I'm reluctant to talk about it because the girl that had the experience with me, let me put it this way, the cause of death is unknown. And
So there was a tragedy involved.
Yes. And she had a lot of experiences, and then I ended up having experiences along with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I have full memory of some things, and some things I do not. I only have partial memory, but enough to know that about what's really going on. And
this new group with Ken Cherry that you're part of, what's her objective? Are you going to become competitors of MUFON, or
well, I don't know,
replacing something?
I don't know.
I guess what I'm asking, Marilyn, is what's next for you?
Well, what's next for me is EPIC, and we've already got a small group here in Oklahoma, and we're under Ken Cherry, who has a couple areas that are meeting, and most of our meetings are going to be run by live streaming. Ken makes the arrangements for the speakers to come in. We put them on live streaming, and then people can meet, or we meet up in Tulsa, and watch the speaker. On live streaming. So, and there are a lot of people that are taking a huge interest in this. They can watch it from their computer at home. They don't actually have to be at the meeting unless they choose to come and as camaraderie with others. And we're gonna touch on every subject from UFOs to abductions to we want to talk about remote viewing. We want to talk about conspiracies. We can talk about anything and everything that we can learn from, and so we wanted to branch out. We couldn't do that with MUFON. The subject was strictly the research of UFOs, and if we talked about anything other than that subject, you were discouraged to do it. Let's put it that way. So And
okay, now before we let you go, and our time's almost up, but a couple of things. I'm going to let you finish with what you want to say, and if I left something out or whatever. And the other thing, I got to find out what you did up at Area 51. You went up there in your RV, I hear.
Well, we actually stayed at a motel in Alamo. We flew into Vegas, took all of our night vision equipment, and we set up out by the black mailbox, you know where the infamous black mailbox is. And we sat up there every night for a week, and we skywatched. And we saw some incredible things that we absolutely could not see with the naked eye. All across the whole Area 51 ridge.
And these incredible things, what do you think they were?
Well, there was this one light that came in. It was absolutely huge. It was just huge compared to the lights of the helicopters that were always up and around flying every night, and the airplanes coming and going off the runway. You knew they were airplanes by the flashing. But this one light came in, and it came in from over... let's see, what's the name of that?
Groom Lake?
It came in over Groom Lake, but it came off from the right of us. It took 13 minutes to cross across the range, very slowly moving, and then it stopped, and it hovered, and then it moved a little more, stopped and hovered. And then
you got to get any interference from the federal government while you were there?
They came down the mountain. We could see them come with the night vision. We could see them coming down the mountain and onto the Groom Lake Road there. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Here they come! They're coming after us!" We looked up and we couldn't see any headlights, which we should have seen. So we looked down at the night vision again. We realized that they were coming towards us using their infrared. So they were trying to just get a little closer to
us. What about MUFON? You think there's any infiltration from the federal government there?
Well, it's suspicious. I can't prove it, but it's very suspicious. And James Carrion has expressed as much. And there's people that are in the upper levels of MUFON now that only joined in 2008, and all of their backgrounds are federal law enforcement. So it just doesn't look right. I might be wrong, but it just kind of appears that way. So,
okay, you got any closing thoughts? We're about out of time. Do you want something else you want to say to the audience?
No, I think that's it. I really enjoyed working with MUFON and all the members that came to the meeting. I appreciate everything they did, and I love them all very much, and I just hope they continue on with MUFON, or if they choose, they can join up with EPIC. So I think there's a lot...
So this experience hasn't soured you on the whole field?
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I will always have a great interest in ufology. So.
Okay, well, Marilyn, our time's up. Thank you for being on, and I look forward to more emails from you. I guess Richard sends them.
Well, we both share the same email address, so it's under Richard. But, yes, that's me.
Thank you very much.
All righty. Thanks.
Bye-bye. And this has been a report of MUFON, a live show tonight. We'll have another show next Monday on Inception Radio, and it'll be more detailed and more of the players. I'm Jerry Pippin. Thanks for listening.